Lord laid a little something on her heart, a thought, and a desire to answer your prayers. I appreciate everyone's prayers. Last few weeks, been a lot of things going on, and things are seemingly doing a lot better. My wife's got to have surgery here in a couple weeks, knee replacement, so I'd ask you to remember that. But I do want to thank y'all for your prayers. I don't take people's prayers lightly because I believe prayers change things. And I stand before you today living proof of that. God not only saved my soul as a young boy and changed everything, but there's been different times through my life that he's, when it looked awful dim, that he intervened and helped me. I'll never be able to thank him enough for that. My thought is holy ground. And most of you know where we're going to probably read our lesson from. But it's to do with the calling of Moses. But I pray that we'd be able to bring this out in a way today that to be a help to us. And that we might be able to see. I've seen some stuff in that I'd never seen before. The Lord showed me some stuff I'd never seen before. So I pray today that we'll be able to bring this out in a way to be pleasing unto the Lord. Exodus chapter 3, and beginning in the first verse, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock in the backside of the desert and came unto the mountain of God, and even to Oreb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame afar out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and he beheld the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see the great sight why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him and out of the midst of the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and for he was afraid to look, and Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And with the mistakes we made reading, now that's down to the sixth verse, and we find here that he told him to take off his shoes and not come hither, because the place where he stood was holy ground. And I thought about that a lot through time. And I'm going to say this, and you may not agree with it, and you don't have to agree, but I believe it's right. I don't believe there was nothing special about that spot of ground. I believe what was special about the spot of ground was what was there. And that was the presence of God. And that without the presence of God, there is no holy. The ground wasn't that special. I know it said it was the mountain of God, and I think it was called that after what happened there. The things that they made sacrifices after that. But listen to me. What made that place special was the presence of God. So it was just another piece of ground. And I hope and pray that we'll be able to get this out in a way, the way the Lord gave it to me, and that we'll be able to maybe slow down just a little. I do want to go ahead over here and read our text, and you, hopefully you'll see where I'm going with this. You'll find it in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3 is the charges to a bishop and to a deacon. But at the end of that, he made a statement. At the end of that, and I've always felt like those qualifications to be a bishop and a deacon are just Christian church member qualifications. And I believe that because he goes on and says something at the end of this, and it wouldn't make a bit of sense if it didn't. Now, don't get me wrong. These are the qualifications that Josh and Bill and myself had to meet. But I also think these are just clearly qualifications that we all should be able to meet. But it says these things, now listen, after he gives the qualifications down through verse 13, these things, he says in 14 then, these things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. What things did he write unto him? The things that we read, that you would read before, the qualifications. That's what he wrote unto. But if you tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And that's where our thought is truly coming from today, the pillar and the ground of the truth. So I believe the church of the living God is the ground of the truth. And the presence of God makes this place holy, and that's the only thing. The only thing is different about me. I heard of some getting smacked here lately for saying we're nothing but dirt. I heard a couple preachers got smacked over saying that. Some lady smacked them over saying, but that's what you are. You may not like hearing that, but all you are is dirt. And the only difference in this spot of ground right here you're looking at today, and a spot of ground that may be out yonder, somebody that's never been saved by God's grace, is the presence of God. The only thing holy about me is the presence of God. But because there's the presence of a God here that dwells in me, there's something holy about me. And I want you to know something today. Because Hilltop Church, and I believe it all my heart, it's part of one of his churches or his church. I believe that in all my heart. This is holy ground because his presence is with us. So why? There's a difference in this place right here and any other building you might go to, and you say, what's the difference? The difference is it ain't the bricks, it ain't the sheetrock, it ain't the pews that we've got, it ain't our bookboard. The difference is the presence of God, and I mentioned it earlier, when we come here this morning, I don't know about you, I don't know your heart, but I brought him with me. The church is you. It's the people. And when we come here and we meet together as a congregation of people, there should be the presence of God here. Now, sometimes he makes himself manifest and sometimes he don't, but he is here. This is holy ground that we stand on. It's the pillar and the ground of the truth. And that's the truth. That's the fact. This is holy ground because this is the place that we come and meet with God. That's what Moses done. He met with him there at a burning bush. Do you notice how it said it wasn't a big oak tree? It wasn't something that he got there and he wouldn't have paid no attention to. Just like Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, he was there in a little burning bush. Not something spectacular, but just a bush. Ain't that just like God? Now, Moses, they caught his attention. Why ain't this little bush done burn up? He's a consuming fire, our God is. But I want you to know something. His presence is what makes it holy. And if his presence ain't with you, then there ain't nothing about you holy. But what I want to try to get at today is what makes this place different is the truth. It's the pillar and the ground of the truth. And when a church loses the truth, when it no longer practices the truth, then I want you to know the presence of God will leave that place. And I want you to realize today, he is in a way with us today in the way of the Comforter. On the day of Pentecost, he come in the way in a mighty wind and a flame, and that the church was baptized with fire. Jesus told them, I will come unto you. He come in the way of the Comforter, and when he is gone, he's gone. When the Spirit of God leaves a place, it's no longer a church. His presence is what makes the difference. So when Moses come up that spot of ground, I want you to know you can go over to that spot of ground right now and it looked the same as any other spot on that mountain. But what made it different was God. And I want you to know, you drive up and down the road, every building, church, you see out yonder with a sign, they won't look no different. Some of them brick, some of them are vinyl, some of them got wood, some of them are block. I want you to know they all got a sign up that says church on it, but there's a difference in them. And the difference is the presence of God. And the presence of God is there. Why? Because it is the ground of the truth. And when we get to the place that we no longer recognize what the truth is, and when you get to the place when you start allowing me or anybody else get up and start preaching things from your pulpit that ain't the truth, then you're getting ready to no longer have the presence of God. Because when you leave the truth, when you leave the truth, then the presence of God is getting ready to leave. So we should always be able to. I think everybody here, if you're a member of the Lord's church, you should be able to recognize what truth is. And you should be able to amen the truth when you hear it. You should be able to turn your head and drop your head when it ain't the truth. You should be able to stand up and say, preacher, that ain't right. We need to pray. We need to recognize what the truth is. This is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Honey, it all started with the groundwork, and it was Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I want you to know He is truth. And honey, it was built upon Him. It wasn't built upon no other man. It was, the foundation was Christ. It was laid out upon Him, and we should still make sure the truth goes out from our pulpits today. It's the pillar and the ground of the truth. And I'm going to say this, if you don't know enough truth to be able to make sure your pulpit is protected, then shame on us. Shame on your pastor for not teaching you no better. Shame on you for not studying the Word of God. Shame on us. We should know the truth when we hear it, and we should know a lie when we hear it. I want you to know we're to follow that which is good, not that which is evil. When a man gets up and starts trying to tear a church apart and cause a division in the church, I want to tell you right now, that's evil. There's no love in that. There's no good in that. We're not to tear down. We're to tell the truth, but we're not to try to divide. This gospel ain't changed since Jesus came. It ain't changed since John the Baptist preached. It ain't changed since Paul told them those qualifications and then turned. You know what he said? That thou ought to know how to behave thyself in the house of the living God. We ought to know how to behave ourselves. Not just a preacher, not just a deacon. Every one of us ought to know how to behave ourselves. We should know how we should treat our brothers and sisters. We should know the truth when we hear it. I want to tell you right now, there's 18 articles of faith that us Baptists believe, and we should know some of them. We should know every article, but we should be able to tell some of the scriptures that go with them. You say, why? Because we need to recognize what we are. If you ain't got the 18 articles of faith, you let me know. And if you want a copy of them, I'll get you a copy. But we should know the truth when we hear it. Because we're the ground of it. You're not going to hear it nowhere else. There was some over in the Revelation letter, the chapter 2, the church of Ephesus. He said, I believe it's in the second verse. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. You recognize the truth when you hear it. I preached a sermon. I went around preaching different places, and I told them when I come. I went on Sunday nights. I put out appointments. And y'all going to say, well, boy, that was something. But God put it on my heart, and I done it. And I'd do it again if he put it on my heart. But I put out appointments, went and preached on Sunday nights about saying amen. And our churches right here, you'll still get an amen right here every now and then. But there are a lot of our churches, you'll go and you can preach, and you'll preach your heart out and preach the truth, and it won't nobody say amen. And there's either one or two reasons for that. One is they're too ashamed to say amen, and they're bashful or something like that. Or number two, they don't know what the truth is. And if you don't know what the truth is, how can you amen it? We should understand the truth. We're the pillar and the ground, the house of the living God. It is holy ground. Once again, why is it holy ground? Not because this spot right here is special. This was given to you. This was just a piece of dirt. This land was donated. Y'all built a building on it. We've been able to add on to it a couple of times. God has blessed it. He has. But what makes this place special is the presence of God.
And when you got where you don't have that no more, he went on, he told them he'd remove the candlestick. He told them different times, I'll repent or I'll remove it. You know what the candlestick is? The candlestick is the church, and the lights that's on that is you. That's why we're to light or add our light to the candlestick. He turned around when Jesus, he showed John. John raised and he turned around. He saw Jesus. He heard the voice. He turned around. You know the first thing he saw? He saw the candlestick. And he said, I saw a candlestick. You know what? He loves his church. He loves showing her off. When I walk in somewhere with her, I want you to know I go in with her, my arm wrapped around her. She's my bride. She's beautiful to me. I show her off. I love her. He loves us. He loves his church. But I want to tell you something. There will come a time when a church leaves the truth and starts practicing things that's ungodly, that ain't true. His presence will leave. And when his presence leaves, it's no longer a holy place. I asked you, do you understand what the truth is? I'm just being honest. I preach a lot of things, and boy, I get some odd faces sometimes. I promise you, I'll never get up here and preach on anything unless I study it inside and out, left and right, up and down, back and forth. You know why? Because this word is important. It's more important than I am. It's more important than my pride is. It's more important than you are. It is. It's the truth. And it will set you free. And when we don't get to where we don't know the truth, then we fail. There was people before us, the Bible wasn't plenished. There was people before us that memorized the New Testament, Barbados. There's some of us, Benji Blackwell there, the dude has got a memory. Have y'all ever seen anybody like him? He'll read a verse of Scripture and tell you the whole book of the story and be able to, they could quote every Scripture of the New Testament. Why? because they loved the truth. They wanted their children to have the truth. They taught their children the truth, or they would know the truth. I ain't telling you you've got to know the whole Bible. I don't know the whole Bible. And if Brother Barry tells you he knows the whole Bible, he's telling you wrong too. He don't know it all. We don't. But we need to know what we believe. It's very important that we know that we be the ground, the pillar, and the ground of the truth. Jesus was a root out of dry ground. They weren't expecting him to come the way he did. I mean, most people would drive by here. They talking about building a mega church up here at Lafayette. Somebody mentioned a mega church earlier. I believe it was Josh down around Murfreesboro. They're talking about building one up here. They drive by out here and they look at us, a little burning bush out here, and they just laugh. Well, they got this congregation of 5,000 people and this great big old buildings and big old oak tree burning there, I guess. They drive by this little burning bush and they wouldn't see nothing special about us. But there is something special about us. They didn't, when Jesus come riding in on a donkey, and his feet, I can just see his feet nearly hanging to the ground. They didn't see about that man. But the presence of God. He said, if these people didn't bow, say holy. He said these rocks would raise up and do it. It's the presence of God that makes the difference. It ain't the show. It's God that what makes the difference. And to hang on to that, we got to hang on to the truth. I've seen people that I thought, boy, there ain't no way they'll ever quit. Have you ever seen them like that? They're not with us today. I've seen people I thought, man, they will be here till the Lord comes back, they're going to be here. But they never was grounded. We thought they was, but they never was. Over in Matthew, I believe it is, it talks about, and we usually use it for the laws, talks about building one building on a rock, on a solid foundation. See, it starts from a pillar and the ground and the truth. That's where it comes from. That's where it's at. And you're building on shifting sand. There's some people just never are settled. They're never all rooted and they never are settled in the truth. And because of that, the word will come by and by. We use that over in Matthew 13 about the seed being sown, and some of them, how they receive the seed. And then when the word comes, it offends them, and they leave, they're gone. Listen, I'm telling you, all this ain't always got to be used towards lost people. You better build your house, your church, your life on a solid rock. That's what it means. It means a family. You better build it on the truth. Your foundation better be Jesus Christ, the Word, the truth. If you're not grounded, and I wasn't, and I still ain't going to say my roots are so deep that I won't say I can't fall. Peter didn't think he could, and he did. And right now you're sitting there thinking, I can't fall, and if you ain't careful, you will. I got saved when I was 14-year-old, joined the church, went for a while out of church. Me and my wife get married in church, go to church, out of church, back to church, out of church. Root was just really shallow. You've been seeing a lot of trees blowed over lately. Ground gets wet, and wind comes up a little bit. You see them. The ones that you see blowed over, the roots are not very deep. They ain't got no tap root to them. A lot of them, these branch for pears and stuff like that, you'll see them blowed over. Just a spot, maybe 20 foot wide, But the roots ain't no deeper in the ground than that. When the storm comes, when it gets a little tough, uprooted and gone. I ain't going to be much longer. I had a big time studying on this. You may not get nothing out of it, but I've enjoyed it. I love learning more, and when he shows me something, I just enjoy it. It ain't nothing like when God shows you something. I believe it's Colossians 1 and 23. I want you to pay attention to what it says. We're not a religion. Brother Dane talked about this in the ordination. We're a faith. And sure enough, that's what we are. Colossians 1 and 23, if you continue in the faith, listen what it says, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Grounded and settled. What are we to be grounded in? The truth. We should be settled in the truth. You don't have to hold your hand up, but if somebody come in here and preach something to your children was wrong, would you recognize it as wrong? You feel like you would? I love you for that. Don't ever let go of that. If you want to be able to come here 20 years from now, this sister told me she used to come here and chat, been here. She's come back. I'm glad she's here. If you come back 20 years from now, if God moved you and you went somewhere else and you come back, wouldn't you want to come and find the same gospel that you heard when you was a child? Wouldn't you want to come back and hear the same truths about baptism as you heard as a child? Wouldn't you want to come back and hear the same truths about the Lord's Supper as you did as a child? Wouldn't you want to come back and feel the presence of God that you feel like you're walking on holy ground? The only way that's going to happen, that you're settled, that you're grounded, that you are moved not. You hang in there. You stay with the truth. You love God. You love His Word. If you don't know the articles of faith, ask me for them. I'll get you a copy. But get grounded. Get settled. Paul told them, hey, over at the church of Ephesus, he told them in the book of Acts, I believe it's the 20th chapter of Acts, he said, there's going to be wolves come in from among you that are not out there, that's going to teach things that are wrong. And you need to be able to recognize it when it happens. That we might know how to behave ourselves. And the house of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Brothers and sisters, you are sitting on holy ground because He dwells here among us. And that's what makes it different than my house or anything else. The only thing that makes me different than anybody else out there that don't know God is His presence among me. And that's what makes Him different about Hilltop Church. He is among us. Don't ever lose that. I hope somebody gets something out of this. I've always wanted to go over to the Holy Land. But I want to tell you right now, I'm standing in holy land. Amen. The presence of God is what makes a difference. You can go over there and they say that the temple they got there is built the same place. And I want to tell you something. If God ain't there, it ain't a bit more holy than my house is. The only thing makes it holy is the presence of God. That's my little thought. I've enjoyed studying on it this week. I've enjoyed meditating on it. I love y'all. You know why I love you? Because I, even though today is Memorial Day weekend and I knew that was going to cut it back a crowd, and they was giving tornado watches and tornado warnings and all these things, I knew that was going to cut back a crowd. I knew there'd be a few of y'all. I knew it wasn't no need of me turning around and going back home, because I knew it'll be a few of y'all that love the Lord, that love His cause, that love this place enough to make your way here. I love you for that. So I pray. I preached the same today. If it'd been, the house had been packed all the way out to the road. I'll hush after this. I heard a man, I was watching TV. It's a country music star. There's one down, he's always on the opera. A little short guy. What's his name, Josh? He's a little skinny, short guy, got long black hair, curly. Yeah, Marty Stewart. Seen him on TV one night. I was up late watching TV for some crazy reason. Here come this little dude on there, and he got to tell him about being out in East Tennessee. He was out in East Tennessee, and he said they was on their traveling bus, and they stopped in there to stay at a motel. Said they drove by this little tent. A little tent out there, and hot lights hanging up on it, open-air tent. And he said he got down to the motel room. They stopped, pulled in the motel room there, and he said you could hear him down there preaching. Said that preacher pouring his heart out, and he said, I don't understand. He said it wasn't but four or five people in that tent, and he was out there preaching like he was preaching to 5,000. It don't make no difference how many are there. If the presence of God is there, there'll be power. There'll be demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit is, there is liberty. It's holy ground where God is. Whether it's an old tent or whether it's in a church building, whether it's in a burning bush on Mount Orb, it don't make no difference. Whether it's in you, just you, two or three gathered in my name. Sometimes it's just you and him. Sometimes he makes the second one, or you make the second one. There's liberty. I'm thankful I had liberty this morning. I'm thankful for liberty. That's my message.